anointing that grows. Years ago, when I was growing up, we used to sing a little song. It went like this. Oh, for a new anointing. Oh, for the heavenly rain. Oh, for a new anointing. Jesus, anoint me now. How many heard that song before? Not a soul. Oh, my. Oh, my. That song goes back a long time. I'm not as old as some of you. Yes, the anointing that grows. I am interested in this. We talked out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And when Jesus walked on earth, he took the time to spend approximately 3 years with his disciples. And they walked with him, they talked with him, they were taught by him, they ate with him, they knew all the ins and outs, and it was from those disciples that they said, man, this is the Messiah. But just before, when Jesus was coming to the end of his life and he knew it, he began to tell them about how he must suffer all kinds of things, and those disciples said, oh, no, we don't want that to happen. No, sir, we have a kingdom. We've got a kingdom that we believe you to be the Messiah. And they just thought he was going to come and take over those Romans, just going to fix those guys and put them in their place. And it didn't all happen like that. Jesus said, hey, boys, my kingdom's not of this world. It doesn't happen like that. Jesus, he didn't come to be served. He come to serve. And he come to give his life a ransom for many. They didn't understand that. They did not understand that the kingdom of God works in a lot different realm than just flesh and blood. There was a spirit realm that was greater than the realm that they were walking in. And yet Jesus, the kingdom of God, was going to work in that realm to affect the earthly realm. Glory to God. And God had a time frame for that. You know, when you read through the scripture and all of a sudden it says, and when the fullness of time was come, that for everything there is a season and a time, for every activity under time, there is a time. Yet God has made, verse 11 says, yet God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has planted eternity in the hearts, in the human heart, and even so people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. We don't see the full scope. So when Jesus was about to leave, Jesus told his disciples that they needed to wait in Jerusalem. And they're going, waiting for what? We need to wait for the timing of God. God knew the perfect timing for this outpouring. Praise God. And some people really did not understand the reason for the outpouring. You know, when he was talking to his disciples, he also said, My sheep hear my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I told you last week that I believe that the anointing of God is like the amplification. I use a microphone. I can still talk, but I use a microphone to amplify my voice. And the Holy Spirit will work in a similar fashion to that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you are born again, please understand, when you are born again and you first acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you know, the Lord really is not going to do anything more to provide salvation. And when you receive salvation, you do receive the Holy Spirit. But what Jesus was talking about with his disciples, okay, was a further experience or a further relationship in God. Something more. These disciples obviously needed something more than what they had to get the gospel out. Praise God. Jesus told them that they were supposed to wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with power. Endued with power. They did not understand what all that was. And I'm almost certain that those people that were in that upper room, approximately 120 people, the Bible says, were in that upper room in Acts chapter 1. They were in that upper room. And he said, do not, this is Acts chapter 1, verse 4. He said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know, I don't do much pickling. My mom used to make pickles. My wife has made pickles. She makes one of some of the best relish you ever seen. On top of that hot dog. It's really, really good. And they tell me that when you're making pickles, you gotta let that pickle soak in pickling juice, I guess. Is that what you call it? Well, cucumbers, yes. Cucumber becomes pickle. Okay. But there is a soaking process that's necessary. There is an immersion of the cucumber into the pickle juice. At some point, that juice gets so into that cucumber that when it comes out of the jar, it's a pickle. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you become a greater pickle. No. The word baptized means to be immersed. Praise God. It's not a sprinkle. It's an immersion in the Spirit of God. Praise the name of the Lord. And those disciples, those 120 that were in that upper room, they did not understand they were going to be pickled. They were going to be changed. There was something more that was going to come into their lives. Praise God. And it was going to enhance their hearing. They were going to be able to hear the voice of the Lord that much clearer. But he said that they were going to wait until they received the promise that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in verse 6, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking, this is Acts chapter 1, verse 6, so when the apostles were with him, they said, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replies, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. He said, it's not for you to know. They are keyed up on the times and the seasons. They, in their minds, were locked into times and seasons. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. But there is something that is more important than times and seasons. He said, but you will receive. Praise God. You will receive what? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will, doesn't say you will do witnessing. It says you will be my witnesses. Praise God. We like to think that it's just going to help us, give us that much more, we'll have more courage and all kinds of different stuff. And maybe, yes, to some that happens. But it's so that we could be witnesses. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the ends of the earth. We don't have a need. We really don't need to spend a lot of time with dates and seasons, as so many talk about. Does that mean, Pastor, we're not going to have any teaching on end times? No, it doesn't mean that. But our focus is not going to be on the end times. Our focus is going to be on relationships and on our relationship with God. And included in that relationship with God is going to be receiving the Holy Spirit. Praise God. What happened? What happened? Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, there were about 120 believers together in one place. That's in Acts chapter 1. They were all together. They were there tarrying. They were in one place. And then in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were, there it is again, meeting together in one place. And while they were meeting together, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house. It doesn't say they were walking around. It doesn't say that they were climbing walls. It doesn't say that they were doing a whole lot right at that point. The action was sitting, just like we are. Praise God. But these folks were obviously in anticipation that something was going to transpire. Praise God. Something big was going to happen. They were together in one place. Now, why would you gather together if you don't have a purpose? Why do we come together? There's obviously a purpose. Because we desire to worship the Lord. Well, these folks were gathered together because they wanted to worship the Lord. They wanted to spend time with the Lord. They wanted to build on that relationship with the Lord. But they were also there because of the Lord's instruction to stay. They were all together. They were sitting. Then it says that, verse 3 of Acts 2, that what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled. It appeared and settled on each of them. And it says, and some people present were filled. No, it says, and everyone, praise the Lord, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? Who did the speaking? They did. Absolutely, they did. Some people want to know, well, what happens when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit? Well, you become immersed in the Spirit, and some people, they get a language, but they really don't know. It kind of sounds funny. Sounds a little funny. They don't know. They don't really understand it. Well, I don't know that I understand it either. And it says, and they began. Isn't that something? The Holy Spirit's not the one that does the speaking. We do the speaking. Praise the Lord. There's something about that. And you know that the hardest point, you know, when I was getting baptized in water, do you know, I'm not much of a swimmer. I'm not even a floater. When it comes time to water, I'm not much of anything. I just know that there's something in my body that doesn't allow me to float very well. My mom and my swimming teacher discovered that. She wasn't pretty. I was going for my swimming test, and I remember going out like this, and I was supposed to float like this, you know. And funny thing happened, I was going like this instead of out like this. She wasn't pretty, folks. And the hardest thing for me to get wet was my head. Do you know that the hardest thing, when it comes time to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the hardest things for us, the things that we deal with is our head and our mind and our thinking. That is the hardest part about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We get all caught up with the semantics, I suppose, of speaking because we're used to, in our language, speaking a language. Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 13, I don't have this in the notes, but Paul, in 1 Corinthians 13 it says, "And if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels." Now, there he's talking about speaking in tongues, but the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, because this Holy Spirit outpouring, what these folks were experiencing was not their first language. They had not learned a language, okay? They had not learned a language. It is I'm going to try to be as reverent as I can, and it's a funny sounding thing that you don't understand. And the hardest thing for you is we think too much about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it's for all believers. It's for all believers. These signs will accompany them that believe. And in that list, it actually says, laying hands on the sick and they will recover. A little bit later, it says, and they will speak with new tongues. Somebody says, well, how come I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, if you don't believe, you don't receive. It becomes comes a part of believing. Well, how do I receive it? Well, it's like this. You have a church service like this, and we start just like we do a prayer line, and we all get in a row, and we all just tell you to speak in tongues. That's not how it works. Now, for some ministries, that's what they do. I haven't found that very effective. My brother-in-law and my sister were laying in bed, and the Holy Ghost, the presence of the Lord, fell on my brother-in-law, and he was just a brand new Christian, and in his bed, wakes up speaking in tongues. He'd been asking for it. He wanted to receive it, and he knew that it was for him. My sister wakes up. She'd been already filled with the Holy Ghost. She wakes up, and he's speaking in tongues. Well, she begins to speak in tongues. Now, I don't know that there's a formula for this thing. In fact, I've discovered that many times there isn't such a formula. These folks were just in the same room, and this Holy Spirit appeared and settled on each of them, upon everyone that was present, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them this ability. Now, the Holy Ghost gives you the ability, but you do the speaking. You see, Holy Spirit doesn't do the speaking for you. The sound that comes out of you is your voice. Praise God. And they began to speak. Peter begins to preach the word, because this is a first time happening. And verse 16, he says, what you see, he said, because what happened was these guys, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. They poured out in the street. They were speaking languages. In fact, in Acts 2, it lists several languages that they spoke. And others looking on, thinking that these people, are they drunk? And Peter stands up and he says, now, folks, these folks are not drunk as you suppose. But these people are filled with something that we've not seen before, but you have to realize that it's God. And Peter says it was prophesied by the prophet Joel that these things would take place. And what happened was they poured out in the street. They were speaking languages they had never learned. And it happened to be at that point, it happened to be a language that they could understand and that many people of different nationalities could understand. Now, how does that happen without the presence of God? You see, this was a miraculous sign and a wonder. It was a sign to the unbelievers that there was something God was doing. Praise God. And they heard these people speaking and magnifying the Lord. But Peter says, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. Verse 17 of Acts 2. In the last days, says God, I will. This is years and years and years before. In the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women. Glory to God. I can see they're all excited about that. This is a pouring out just not upon the men. It was a pouring out upon the women too. Praise God. And it's just not for us that have gray hair. It's for the young too. Praise God. That's for the Samuels. That's for other kids that'll come into this place. They can get full of the Holy Ghost. I've heard many times of little children getting full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Huh. Verse 32, Peter says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand, and the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you what? Hear and see. Praise the Lord. You hear and see it. You are witnesses. You can't be the same because you heard and you saw it. Praise God. In verse 38, Peter replies, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Now remember, he's talking to people that have never heard this stuff before in their lives. Have you ever met people in this country that have never heard the things of Jesus? I'm astounded at the number of people throughout the years that we've heard, that we've seen with our eyes, that have never heard the message of the gospel of Jesus. He's dealing with people that have never heard. So Peter replies in verse 38, each of you must repent of your sin and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord. Now, what's so neat about that verse is that verse was not just written for those Jewish brothers that were with the disciples. There was a lot of people that were in Jerusalem. I mean, there was a festival going on. A lot of people from different parts of the globe there to be a part of that festival. And so Peter says, this thing is not just for Jews. This thing is for Gentile believers too. To all who are afar off, praise the Lord. And look at verse 41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized, okay? They were baptized in water and added to the church. And can we say that word added? Praise God. Now, we've all been in school. We know what that word means. We understand what that word means. But this is an addition of 3,000. In one service. Where in the world would we handle 3,000 people? Okay. Now, to me, I find this absolutely fascinating. I've been to some conferences, and I've done reading and seen and read the strategies that pastors and churches have to increase the church. Jesus had already told in Matthew chapter 16, I don't have it in the notes, where Jesus said to the disciples, to Peter actually, I will build my church. We could have all the strategies, and this is what I'm learning. We can have all the strategies, learn all the systems, they call them systems, of things you can do to make the church grow. And I've heard leaders in some of these conferences, they'll go, in fact, some will come up to you and say, well, what are you doing? We were challenged in one group, what are you doing to make the church grow? And I remember saying, I can't make the church grow. Now, there are things that I can do that facilitate the growth. And obviously, those disciples in the book of Acts had facilitated the growth by doing what the Lord had commissioned them to do. They did not know the calendar event. They did not know the timing of God. But they knew enough, were smart enough to wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with power. And that day that the Holy Spirit was outpoured, you see, we can do more as they did back then. We can do more on relying on the power of the Holy Spirit than we can on strategies to make the church grow. Here, the Holy Spirit was outpoured and 3,000. Well, what happened? In verse 42, the same chapter, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, which included the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. They devoted themselves. Now, that's a big crowd that were suddenly having to be discipled. And what did they do? I don't think they had room like a facility like this. So they met in homes. They would meet in the temple. One scripture says they were meeting in the temple daily. Matter of fact, Peter and John were on their way to the temple because it was a common practice in those days that they would meet at church, and meet at the temple every day. And on their way there was a man there that needed help. And it was that guy that Peter said, we don't have money to give you, but such as we have. What was that? That was the anointing of God. Such as we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's what the anointing did. The anointing will do the very same thing that happened to Jesus. When the Bible says in Acts that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, he went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Bible says, dwells in you. Praise the Lord. Dwells in you. Praise the Lord for his indwelling. Praise the Lord. That's big. We have a treasure. We have a treasure in us that many of us have not yet tapped into. It's called the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Wonderful treasure. Praise the Lord. Verse 44, all the believers met together in one place and they shared everything. It wasn't just about doing church as normal. This Holy Spirit was in them so that they would be witnesses. There was something in them that wanted to pour out, so they began to share, to give. Glory to God, to help those that were in need. Oh, we could talk a little bit about that one. But they here, for our purposes this morning, they all met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Wow, you know how big that is. Because it wasn't just about them selling so that they could build bigger barns. Not that there's anything wrong with bigger barns. But in verse 46, it says, they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. That's what happened. The Holy Spirit, it wasn't just about speaking in tongues. It was about being a witness. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit had filled them with a desire to meet together and to do things differently. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and I'm almost done. That's my first closing. Little humor there. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day, oh, here it is again. Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Praise God. Notice, they didn't start a boys and girls club. They didn't start a women's ministry or a men's ministry. They just got together. It didn't necessarily have to be planned by the church, by their fellowship. They were just so excited of being together, being a part of something greater than themselves, praise God. They were meeting in homes and sharing, and they were even doing communion. I told you last week, some friends called us in St. John, and they were so encouraging. But in a part of that conversation, she said, "Do you remember?" And I'm going, "What am I supposed to remember?" And she said, "You come in and prayed for Larry." Some of you heard the story. You come in to pray for Larry, who was on his bed in pain. He could not move out of his bed. You came in and you had communion with us. Now, we just didn't have communion because it was something we're supposed to do. It was just something I felt we were supposed to do. We had communion, and then she said, "You prayed some little prayer." That's how she said it. "You prayed some little prayer." God's not looking for the size of prayer. We talked about it on a little bit on Wednesday night. God's not looking for a big prayer. He's just looking for a prayer that just comes from our heart. Praise God. You know how freeing that is? You know how freeing it is when you can come into a place and just pour your heart out to God and know that it's a safe place where you can just communicate with God, and that people around you can agree with you together in prayer. You know how freeing that is. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 10, verse 43. He is the one of all the prophets that testified, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sin forgiven through his name. In verse 44, this is where I want you to see. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. That's why I say, this is one example. It's the only example. I can give you others, but that's one example I'm going to give you this morning. That as Peter was preaching, as he was sharing with them the word of God, what happened? The Holy Spirit fell. Thank you, Jesus. That while the message was going on, they didn't have a prayer line. They didn't have a line for receiving the Holy Spirit. Although it's wonderful. I'm not knocking that in congregations. I'm not knocking that. But if my brother-in-law can get filled with the Holy Spirit in his room on his bed during the night, you can get filled anywhere. Even while we're preaching. Even while you're sharing with one another in your homes. Even if it's over a cup of coffee somewhere, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there can be evidence of it, physical evidence that you will hear and see, praise God. It doesn't have to be disruptive to the community around you, praise God. But the Holy Spirit can be outpoured. You can receive them right now, praise God. You can receive them while you're having your meal. You can receive them while you're having fellowship one with another. You can receive them while we're having a, what do they call them things? Potlucks, pot blessings. You see, it's just being in the receiving mode to receiving the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you more than you want to be filled. Glory to Jesus. Father in heaven, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that you are the almighty, great God that we sang about. How great you are. You are so good. We heard about it this morning, how you are so good to individuals. But I thank you, Lord, that you want to fill us with your precious Holy Spirit. I thank you for your anointing. That holy, holy anointing. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you pour out your anointing on us, not just to benefit us. Thank you for your holy anointing that you pour out on us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for your life refreshing. We thank you for meeting all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your holy power. I thank you, Lord, for that yoke-destroying, salvation-giving, new water pouring. I thank you for the devil-chasing, bondage-breaking oil poured out on us. I thank you for the real earthquaking, heaven, wind-blowing, fire, praise the name of the Lord. I ask, Almighty God, that you would pour out your Spirit again, praise the Lord. Fill, fill, fill. We want to be filled with your power and your holy anointing. Glory to Jesus. Now, Lord, I ask that you would anoint our eyes and our ears. We'll not just see it, we'll not just hear it, but you will touch us in our hearts. You will soften our hearts so we'll be able to receive that which you so desire to pour out. In the name of Jesus. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Why don't we just stand? Can we just stand in the closing moments of this service? Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, glory to God. I don't know what the Lord will do here, but I do understand that we can receive, and I feel like I want to receive more of Him, so I'm going to just lift my hands toward Him. Glory to God. I want to receive, Lord, I want to receive from you. I want to receive more of you in the name of Jesus. More. Thank you for more. Thank you for more. You have more in store for us. Glory to Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you would watch over us in our goings and our comings, in our rising and our standing and our sitting and our walking and our running. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. 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 I ask, Lord, that you would bless the works of their hands in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit in these believing ones, that, Lord, that even as they lay hands on the sick, we will see them recover. Glory to God. As they speak out your word to those that are around them, and it may be in such simple ways, that, Lord, the power of your Holy Spirit will be enacted, and that we will see them come to you in the name of Jesus. Fill us afresh. Lord, you filled many. You filled so many a long time ago. But oh God, for a fresh, fresh touch, for a fresh moving, for a fresh stirring in your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. 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 Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to Jesus. 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 Glory to God. We bless your people in Jesus' name. We bless them. Bless them in their receiving more of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You don't have to feel like you have to run away. Or you can visit with those that are around you, but just be sensitive in case there are folks that just want to sit and just bask in His presence, okay? Glory to Jesus. God bless you.